but I'd like to read the scripture from the Holy Bible. Did you read your Bible this morning? Did you read the Bible before you left the house today? Are you living in the Word of God? Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Had God said that? God had not said that. She added something to it. They were to take care of the garden, and they were to dress it. And of all of the trees of the garden, they could eat, except the one. Now, God didn't say they couldn't touch it. Man has been adding to the Word of God to his or her own destruction from that day to this. And there is great severe consequences expressed both in Deuteronomy and in the book of Revelation for those that add to or take away from the Word of God. Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Doesn't it seem strange to you to open the scriptures and start reading the book of Genesis? See in chapter 1, the creation, and right off you find two personalities, the woman and the serpent, in dialogue. That Eve is talking to the devil. Have you ever talked to the devil? Everyone here has talked to the devil many times, though he may not have appeared to you and he may not have materialized so you can see him visually. But the problem, many people don't know what it is to have communication with Satan. How many of you know that the devil has tempted you sometime in your life? How did he do it? Did he write you a letter? Slip you a note. You know, there's something about the spirit world you should understand. The Bible says evil communications corrupt good morals. How does the devil tempt you? It is a faculty of the spirit world that they have the ability to inject things in your thought stream. Could they not do that? They could not tempt you. The old cartoon is an oversimplification, but it doesn't miss it so far. The little angel on one shoulder, the little demon on the other shoulder, and the angel is saying, don't do it, and the demon is saying, do it, do it. Now, I with communication hope to influence your thought stream while I speak. But in private conversation, if you will go along with my influence and communication, I can influence your thought stream. Your mind works like the river flowing through the riverbed. Day and night, to wake or sleep, the flow continues. And if it ceased, you would cease to exist. Now, you by daydreaming or meditation or reading or what you watch on television can influence your own thought stream. But if I come and I start to speak to you and I start talking to you about Christmas and how you celebrate Christmas, and if you will go along with that, then we're talking about Christmas. Or start talking about hunting, deer hunting, and you go along with that, well then we're thinking about deer hunting and I have influenced your thought stream. And in your own meditations, you think about what you were thinking during the daytime. Your mind goes from this to that, and if it gets on something undesirable to you, you table that and have the ability to put that out of your mind. Or if when I'm in conversation with you, I get on something that is touchy, and you say, I don't want to talk about that. And I get pushy and try to impose myself upon you, and you say, I don't want to hear another word about it. If you refuse then to entertain my communication, I can no longer influence your thought stream. And I have been astonished to find sometimes people who had been Christians for 10 years or more who had never realized how Satan influences the thought stream. He has the ability, as the beings of the spirit world do, to bypass the audio mechanism of the ear and instill thoughts right in your mind. You can pick them up word for word at times. Have you had an experience like this? Oh, what a wonderful service on a Sunday night, and the Holy Spirit comes down and you are so blessed, and you're lost in the Spirit, and you are blessed with the joy and the ecstasy of the religion, like the disciples who went their way rejoicing, full of the Holy Ghost and great joy. And about Monday afternoon, you're walking down the walk, and all at once, zit, and the meanest, dirtiest thought you've had in the proverbial coon's age crosses the screen of your brain. It just stops you in your tracks. You think, wow, how could I think such a thought? Yeah, how could I think such a thought? And last night I thought I was so blessed. Yeah. Maybe it's just emotion. Maybe you're getting too much into that religion. Maybe you ought to back off a little bit. Maybe there wasn't anything to that experience last night except emotionalism. And what you are doing is having a direct dialogue with the devil. You need to learn to know whether you called up a thought. And if you call up a thought like that, you need to repent of it. For you are held accountable for all of the thought and meditations upon the screen of your mind, whether you are awake or asleep. Did you not know that God holds you accountable for the dreams you have in the night? If I could rather be rather earthy and frank in this adulterous and sinful generation of 1983, under the Mosaic law, you were held accountable for sex dreams. And the Bible clearly says that if a man has a dream that perchance is upon him in the night, he is unclean. He's accountable for that. He has to go outside of the camp. We were talking about cleansing outside the camp last night with the ashes of the red heifer. He must go outside the camp and go through purification. Hello, are you there? So God holds you accountable for what comes across the screen of your mind, and God holds you accountable if you read the wrong type of magazine or the wrong kind of books. The Bible speaks of holiness, which no man shall see God. And Jesus said with clarity in the Beatitudes, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. There are three cleansing agencies: the Spirit, the blood, and the Word. Jesus said you are clean through the Word. I do so much cassette recording. I have a cassette head cleaner. You put it in and you run it a little bit and it cleans the head. It's a little hard on them. It wears them. It's not the best way to clean them. But sometime in an emergency, I use them. Well, the Word of God is like that. Run the Word of God through your brain and it cleanses a lot of stuff out. It demagnetizes and cleanses. Well, I want to be sure that you know how to recognize the communications of the devil. When you're tempted to do something, when it comes to your mind to do something and you didn't call it up from the chambers of your own heart, you know it came from the devil. God wouldn't put it in your mind. It's amazing. Some people now think that everything comes to their mind was all of their own making. That's not true. For instance, you're taking up a missionary offering. My friend Jim Davis always says, you have the idea you ought to put $100 in the offering? And you stop and consider about it and think about it? Don't stop and think about it. You say, well, I wonder if that was God. Well, of course it was God, he says. The devil wouldn't tempt you to do it, and as stingy as you are, you wouldn't think of it on your own. Of course it was God. Just do it. Oh, learn to know the voice of God and learn to know the voice of Satan. And he doesn't always appear to you. It's in his best interest not to. If he appeared to you, he'd probably terrify you. But when he just, like the drug addict, puts a needle in his arm, gives himself a fix, Satan just shoots it in the brain. And you must reject it. And when you realize that, say, clear out, Satan. I don't want any of your garbage dumped in my cerebellum. That other thing going on in my head. Clear out. Plead the blood. Rebuke it. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Verse 4, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God knoweth that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, was it good for food? And that it was pleasant to the eyes. Was it pleasant to the eyes? And the tree to be desired to make one wise, would it make her wise? You see, when you know the devil's talking, it's very important to stop and question it. If the devil ever tells the truth, it's so he can still twist it and deceive in some way. So even in the Bible, if you know the devil's talking, it pays you to stop and take a pretty close look at it. Because he can quote scripture and outquote most Christians. And even when he tempted Jesus, he quoted scripture. When she saw these things, to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Something happened when they disobeyed God. When they ate the fruit, a change came over them. And they knew more about sin by experimentation than they had known before. All they knew about sin before was on hearsay from God. God told them not to, and God told them what would happen. But that was only an academic knowledge. And there is a natural wisdom about sin which you can live without. The world is filled with alcoholics that know more about being drunk than I know, because I've never been drunk. And I was taught as a child by my parents some of the evils of drink. And so I chose at an early age to be a total abstainer. Not just built on what the Bible says and doesn't say. The Bible has a lot to say about strong drink. I have some very good books on the history of wine. And the Bible forbids you to touch wine when it moves itself in the cup. And even the old Greek philosophers went into it, talked about sweet wine. They had sweet wine that the women and the children could use. We would call it grape juice today. There were three levels of wine. And when you put it in the wineskin, it would move, and most of the alcohol would evaporate. Maybe if you were a real glutton, you could get enough to make yourself drunk. But every alcoholic on the street corner thinks he's a theologian when it comes to wine. And the pitiful thing is, it's spilled over in the church. And we have a lot of Christians across the land that think it's all right to have a cocktail with your drink or wine. If it's alcoholic, you know, you can't even get the biblical table wine. It may have had a half a percent of alcohol or less If you just drank a drink, you might get merry-hearted. But then, you see, there was the wine of the wine shop that was a liquid wine. And that's the only kind you can buy in America. America, we try to get as much alcoholic content as possible. And the Bible forbids strong drink. Hello, I'm preaching. And I mentioned the other night, statistically, everybody that touches alcohol to their lips, just to taste it, 1 out of 8 becomes a problem drinker, 1 out of 12 becomes a drunkard, and 1 out of 16 becomes an incurable alcoholic. So Satan can feed these things in your mind. But you must make some choices on some good common sense. But look how millions are wiped out in America because they tasted of one fruit of the vine. And God said, touch not the wine when it moves itself in the cup. Very similar to what God said to Eve, don't eat of this. Of this you may eat of, but this you may not. Why? Because of the self-destruction. And so there are those that know what it is to have a bad trip coming down from a heroin shot. There are those that know more about smoking a joint of marijuana than I do because I've never smoked one. Oh, you have to be a real mature Christian, you have to be content to stay ignorant of a lot of things. Oh, the heartbroken know more about it than those that aren't heartbroken. They know more about what it is to stand in the divorce court and have their wife and baby swept away and pay alimony for years. And the frustration of trying to build something out of the broken and fractured pieces of life. It's a great day in your life when you honor the sovereignty of God and say, God, I know you're not only sovereign, but you're omniscient and you know all things. And if you say this is the best way for me, I'll go this way. And you believe and put confidence in the Holy Bible that the Bible says, thy ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, whether you turn to the right hand or whether you turn to the left. You bypass a lot of heartaches when you just put confidence in God. Oh, they learned some things. In fact, they learned some wisdom they would have never learned had they not eaten of the tree. But who wants that kind of wisdom? You see, who needs to know what it's like to have delirium tremens and see green monsters that don't exist from the influence of wine. Verse 7, the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? He said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. The Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? The woman said unto the serpent, said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Everyone is blaming someone else. Isn't it the way of the transgressor? It's always someone else's fault. The Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go. Dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. I wonder what the serpent was like before he was cursed. Some think he was the most beautiful. So there's a lot written on this. It's not too wise to journey too far beyond the scriptures and believe a lot of things you can't prove from the scriptures. Some believe that of all of the animals, the serpent was the most beautiful, and Satan entered into the serpent. And by that, curse came upon the entire serpentine kingdom. I suppose it's plausible because Satan tempted Adam and Eve, and when they sinned, the curse of sin came upon all mankind. You say, well, I sure wish that hadn't happened. Well, let me ask you, would you like to have stood in Adam's place or Eve's place? I always had a rather sneaky feeling that if I'd been Adam, I'd probably done about like he did. I wouldn't want that burden upon my back. Verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The first Bible prophecy, the first messianic prophecy, Genesis 3:15, the first hint that God had an answer to sin, right in the shadows of Eden, when first it happened, there came the promise. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sire and thy conception. In sire shalt thou bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground.